following the Word. Would you follow with me in your Bible this morning at 1 John chapter 1? Thank you for opening up your Bible or your iPad or whatever it is you're opening up. 1 John chapter 1, we know from the Bible that there are at least three different kinds of fellowship. The kind you experience when you're first saved, the kind you experience when you're reconciled with another person, and the kind that you experience while you're walking in the light. It's all fellowship. It's just seen from a couple different viewpoints. For we know, once saved, always saved. Now that you are a Christian, you have been completely forgiven. And God always stands ready every minute of every hour of every day to forgive. So you and I were born in Adam. We are no longer in Adam. You and I were born in Adam. And the Bible connects us to the person of Christ, and we've been born again in Christ. But in Adam, we are prone to some things, specifically the one thing that God despises most. In Adam, we are prone to sin. So from the very, very beginning of the world, of course, we know that God's been dealing with this one thing, this one terrible thing that we refer to as sin. Now that we are in Christ, God deals with us in an entirely different way. I want to discuss with you a little bit about that entirely different way today. And I've titled today's message, Forgiveness, the Best Secret Ever. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Father, that you've given to us in Christ all that we need for life and godliness. Thank you, Father, that you have filled us to the full with forgiveness. You've taken care of it, Father, completely, and we want to say thank you for that. So we ask our dear Lord today that you will touch the heart, even this morning as we've listened to your word, as we read your word, and as we consider what you say, Lord, that our hearts would truly be moved by your spirit, responding to you, Lord, to let you have your way with us, whatever that way might be, in anything in our hearts this morning. Father, if there's one among us that's never been saved, we pray that today would be the day that they would understand the simple gospel and put their trust in your Son. So we give you the glory, we give you all the praise and all the thanks in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. So I've titled the message today, Forgiveness, the Best Secret Ever. And I want to show you, in essence, what I mean by that from 1 John chapter 1. So I want to say, as I begin today, that with fellowship comes forgiveness and vice versa. So where there's fellowship, there's forgiveness. I'm going to show you that in the Word, but of course, by experience, where there's forgiveness, there is fellowship. So look with me first at the four times this little word fellowship is found in the passage. Look at verse 3 with me, and this is what we find. How many times is fellowship found? Four times. Look at this, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. One more, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So a couple things with regard to this matter of fellowship, because it is so important. It's obviously important to the Apostle John. Obviously important to the Holy Spirit. But the Scripture says this. First, John talks about fellowship with God. You see that in verse number 3. We have fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He also says this, we have fellowship one with another by the blood of Christ cleanses us. And then he says this in verse number 9, there is this matter of cleansing when we confess our sins. Now it's certainly possible, and we all know it, but it's not necessary for you to sin. But it's certainly possible. And if the Lord can make a way for you to be forgiven at the moment of your salvation, He can also take care of your sins if and when you sin as a believer in Christ. Now, I've spoken a little bit with you about the matter of fellowship and the Lord's presence. Now, when we have fellowship with Him, we share in His presence. Today, my hope is to show you the marriage between forgiveness and fellowship. And it's a very significant connection. This is what my concern is today. What does the Lord say on the matter of forgiveness and fellowship? So look with me first at this. Forgiveness according to the Bible. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? So would you find with me Matthew 18? We're going to take a quick look at Jesus' answer to the question. What does He say about what forgiveness is? Look with me at verse number 21 of Matthew chapter 18. Look what the scripture says here. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, he says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Let's just back up just one moment here. Peter comes to Jesus and he asks him a question about forgiveness. And everything Jesus says has to do with money. He's asking about forgiveness. And Jesus enters into his mind and heart, the picture of money. Look with me at verse 22. Jesus said to him, I say not unto you seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, Peter, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take an account, that has to do with money, settle an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, settle the account, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's lots and lots of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children and all the, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Said Jesus in answer to a question from one of his apostles. The entire story is a story of relief. The entire story, this huge debt, Jesus is answering a question. This huge debt, this immense debt, this obligation, money was owed, so much money was owed that the borrower could never repay it. It could never really be forgiven. So Jesus is saying something about forgiveness. Actually, the idea of forgiveness is the cancellation of a debt. So I want to begin by saying to you this morning something about this wonderful matter of forgiveness. And I want you to think of it as Jesus presents it. Jesus presents forgiveness as the cancellation of a debt that you owe. So watch how amazing this really is. The king doesn't only just cancel the man's debt. He also cancels the cause for the debt. He cancels the debt completely. You see, the size of the debt was so large that the man could not possibly have paid all. Although he said, I will pay you all if you'll be patient with me. What was that question Peter asked Jesus? Peter says, how often shall I forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times, Lord? I think Peter thought he was being very generous. And Jesus says, nope. He says, Peter, think about it like this. 70 times seven. So the king cancels, folks, the cause for the debt. He cancels the size of the debt. He cancels the number of times that he created the debt. He, even when the man has no way of possibly repaying his debt, the king releases him from every penny of the debt. Can you understand what Jesus is saying on the matter of forgiveness? Can you see what forgiveness is according to Jesus? What is it anyway? Forgiveness according to Jesus. What is it? According to Jesus, complete release of your entire sin debt. The size of it, the cause of it, the number of times you sinned to create that debt, and also your inability to pay it off. Now, who but Jesus can explain forgiveness like this? Who would ever think that if a man comes to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive if somebody sins against me, that Jesus turns everything into a financial question? Listen, how many times did the Lord tell Peter that he was to forgive his brother? 490 times. Has anybody here ever been sinned against 490 times? Has anybody here forgiven anybody 490 times? What I want you to see with me, folks, the Bible explains forgiveness in terms of the cancellation of a debt. That's what forgiveness is. That's not all it is, but that's what it is. The second thing I want to share with you is verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. Look with me at verse 3 here. 1 John 1:3, and look what the Bible says here. Sin creates a barrier. Look at verse 3, please. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light, look at verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So sin isn't just a debt, is it? You know what sin is, among other things? It's a barrier. It's a blockage. And a barrier to fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is hindered by the barrier of sin. You see, the main culprit in your not having fellowship is sin. The main culprit is sin. The big reason why you don't have fellowship is sin, according to what the Bible says. So sin isn't just a debt. Forgiveness, meaning the cancellation, entirety of that debt. But the Bible clearly tells us that sin is like a barrier. Let's say you have something against somebody. Anybody want to acknowledge that they've got something against somebody? Chances are we don't want to acknowledge to anybody, and oftentimes even ourselves, that we don't want folks to think that we have something against somebody. Let's say they've got something against you. How's the fellowship? Let's say you've been hurt by something your spouse said or did. How's the fellowship? Let's say you've been wounded by something somebody said about you, which was not true. How's the fellowship? Let's say every time you meet a particular person, you sense a barrier between you and them. How's the fellowship? Let's say somebody has broken a trust that you have placed in him or her. How's the fellowship? Can you not see with me that sin is a barrier to fellowship? You see, a barrier is something that stands between you and another brother and sister of Christ, and it is something which hinders your fellowship. Listen, folks, we all would love to have wonderfully sweet fellowship both with God and man. But what stands between is this barrier that we call sin. You've done something, you've made a decision, you've acted, or maybe you've reacted. In some cases, you said nothing when you should have, or done nothing when you should have done something. But it's still a barrier. And the barrier, the resulting barrier, is this barrier to fellowship. What is John talking about here? He's saying how important it is to be forgiven, that the barrier be removed so you can enjoy fellowship. So the one person worth knowing in this world is Jesus Christ. He is the remover to every barrier to fellowship. First, how does the Bible illustrate and explain forgiveness? Second, sin always creates a barrier. Number three, fellowship is the flowing of life received from God. Fellowship is the flow of life received from God. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I am the life." That's what the Bible says. There's a lot more about who Jesus is, but it's specifically by Jesus' own words. He says, "I am the life." Look again at verse 3. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So would you please consider with me a moment what it is that is flowing through your veins right now? Is it blood or is it life? I go to the phlebotomist. You go to the phlebotomist. And he or she takes a sample of my blood, sends it off to a lab to test it. Well, what's being tested that day? Is my blood being tested or my life? You see, what's flowing through my veins is something more than blood. It's life. And what's flowing through you right now, since you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is the life of Christ. And just like your blood, when it's inside of you, it's constantly flowing. And fellowship, folks, is exactly like that. It's a constant flow of life. What do you think fellowship is? I'm saying that fellowship is a flow of life. What happens, by the way, in your body when circulation stops? You see, the flow being hindered is a problem. So when I say to you that when you walk with the Lord, you are, what he said, when you walk in the light, as he says there, you are saying in essence that the life of Christ is flowing in me. As one man puts it, fellowship is the scriptural term for circulation. So how great is our God? How great is our God? Fellowship is the flow. It's not only a flow of His life in you, but a flow of His life through you. That's how great God is. He can create a human being, put blood in that person, and right up to the very moment of this day, that blood in you from when you were born continues to constantly flow every day, every hour, every minute. How much greater is God when it comes to this matter of fellowship? You're saved in your spirit. Christ came to live, and that living is the person of Christ. It's the flow, fellowship. It's the flow. Fellowship is the flow, and it's not only a flow in you, it's a flow through you. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see, forgiveness, cancellation of a huge debt, unpaid by any natural means, debt. Inside forgiveness is fellowship. The removal of the sin barrier between you and the Lord. That's what happens when you are in fellowship. The barriers are removed. You could pray this prayer every day. Lord, no barriers. Lord, no more barriers. See, even more wonderful. The flow, the circulation of his life through you can flow to those around you. That's the blessing of all blessings, folks. It's the flow of fellowship. The Bible tells us how God illustrates forgiveness. Simple and clear. The Bible tells us clearly that sin is a barrier. Thirdly, fellowship is the flow of life. And then number four, confession of sin is God's way of restoring the flow. What does it say in the Bible? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, you not only need forgiveness in your fellowship with the Lord, you also need a constant cleansing from all your unrighteousness. Now you see the power of the secret of forgiveness and fellowship. Some of you have heard of people with kidney disease. What does your kidney do for you? Your kidney is God's gift to you, an amazing blood cleaner. It's a filter. Healthy kidneys filter impurities about a half a cup of blood every minute. So every day, your kidney does something to your blood. Every minute, your kidney cleans it. It purifies it. And it sends that blood back into your body so that it's constantly providing life elsewhere. It enables the life in your body to be sustained. Well, what does confession do? Think about it. What does confession do? Confession removes, but that's not all. The Bible says that confession cleanses you from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that right now, in the hearts of confessors, there is a removal not only of the sins, but of all unrighteousness. I don't know, folks. I just think it's just marvelous the way God works forgiveness and fellowship. The experience of the Christian is beyond what anything we can imagine from religion or that the world could possibly offer. You see, when we have confession, we have removal not only of the sin, we have cleansing from all our unrighteousness. So today we're coming to the table. Today we come before the table. It is the table of remembrance. It's commonly referred to as the table of remembrance. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." But when you come to the table and you partake of the elements, you are remembering the kidney action of the Lord's cleansing away not only of your sins, but cleansing you from all unrighteousness, listen, and restoring fellowship. You see, one of the biggest issues and our biggest problem as human beings is our selfish nature of sin. We all know this. Sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from fellowship. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him, and the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. Think carefully about what I'm saying. It shuns the light. One of the most wonderful things for us to realize is that the light also shuns sin. You see, I must be brought into the light. In the darkness of the unexpressed that poisons my whole being is affected when I sin. But think about it, folks. When I confess, the light of the gospel breaks into the darkness and the seclusion of my heart, and the sin is brought into the light. And the unexpressed must be openly spoken and acknowledged. All that is secret and hidden is now made manifest. Listen, God already knows it. But now it's obvious to you. And when the things are obvious to you, God says exactly what to do. Confess. The word confess is an interesting word. It simply means this: say the same thing. That's what the word means. Confess means say the same thing. All that is secret and hidden is made manifest. It's a hard struggle until the sin is openly admitted. God breaks through the brass and the bars of iron. So Christian fellowship, symbolized at this table, is what God's after. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to have fellowship with each other. So we come to this table and we remember. We remember who Jesus is. We remember what Jesus did. And we know exactly why He did it. So we bow our hearts before Him and we realize that there's a particular sin that we need to confess. And what do? God brings it to the light. We confess that sin and we partake. But the Bible says. So when we come to the table, we examine our hearts. We confess our sins. We are forgiven. According to 1 John 1:9, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. That cleansing creates restoration of fellowship both with God and with each other. Folks, you've heard me say before, you were made for fellowship. You were made for fellowship. That's why God created you. He made you for fellowship with Himself. Think about what happened in the Garden of Eden with me once more. What happened in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned? The fellowship was broken. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid. They felt ashamed, and then they hid. What was God after? Fellowship. So you belong to Him because He's your Creator. But you also belong to Him because He's your Savior. He's the Savior saving you out of your sin and into fellowship with Himself. The Savior saved your soul and He placed inside your spirit His own eternal life. He created you for fellowship with Himself, and it's so wonderful that He's also created us for fellowship with others. He's the one that loves you, knows you perfectly, and loves you very, very deeply, always interested in a closer fellowship with you. And if you choose, which we all can, to neglect fellowship with God, and we allow a barrier between ourselves and Him or other Christians, it's always to our detriment. He's made a way for us to enjoy His presence, and He's made a way for us to enjoy the presence of other Christians. We call that flow fellowship. We call that the flow of life. We call it fellowship. It's found in a person. You fellowship with the same person when you fellowship with one another. So what is it that stands between you and your Lord? What is it that stands between you and someone else? Please think carefully about the answer, because it indicates the level or the desire for a level of fellowship with God and with others. Of course, the answer to every sin is a person. The answer to every sin is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And of course, the question will always be, if you are not a believer in Christ, will you repent and put your trust in the right person? And when you put your trust in the right person, God wonderfully forgives you that entire sin debt, the whole debt completely erased, because you're trusting in the right person and what he has done for you. You see, folks, fellowship is what life is all about. God saves us out of the darkness and the depths of our sin into fellowship with himself and fellowship with each other. I'm going to ask you to please say to the world, stop. I, today, am going to choose fellowship over everything else that the world has to offer me. You see, the first level of fellowship, yes, when we're saved. Second, when we're reconciled with one another. But third, when we enjoy our forgiven fellowship, when we enjoy our complete forgiveness. So the question is always the same, responding to God. You come to the Bible, you respond to God. You come to the table, you respond to God. You bow your heart and examine yourself before him, you respond to Almighty God. The blood of God's Son is the only means of forgiveness. The question is, are you choosing fellowship with the Lord? Because the only means of fellowship is forgiveness by the power of the blood of Christ. We come by faith. Faith changes everything. And a person who prays the sinner's prayer, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe that your Son, on your Son today, as the one who paid for all my sins. And you say to him, thank you for the free gift of eternal life and the fellowship I have with you. Well, what would be the Christian's prayer in light of 1 John chapter 1? Lord, because of the blood of Jesus, I will confess my sins. I'll walk in the light. I thank you that you want my fellowship. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that perfectly cleans me from every sin. Thank you for your complete cleansing. And one more thing, Lord. No more barriers. Father, you know our hearts. Even as we come before this table today, dear Lord, you know all about us. And it's wonderful, Lord, to know that you have called us out of the darkness of our sin and our shame and our guilt and forgiven us of every single sin. And now, Father, we thank you for, again, an opportunity to say to you, Lord, no more barriers. May we this day, dear Lord, devote ourselves to true fellowship with you and fellowship with one another, knowing that your word says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. I ask this in Christ's name.